Have you ever noticed in our gospel stories how many times we hear angels say, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Those were the first words, of course, that the angels said to the shepherds. But even beside that, there's many stories in our gospels prior to the birth of Christ where the angels' first statement is, "Do not be afraid." Even before the angel Gabriel visits Mary, the angel Gabriel visits Zechariah, the soon-to-be father of John the Baptist. And the first message that Gabriel says is, "Zechariah, do not be afraid, for the Lord has heard your prayer. Do not be afraid, for the Lord has heard your prayer." And Zechariah then hears the promise that the long-awaited and prayed-for son would become a reality. Elizabeth and Zechariah would have a son who would be John the Baptist. "Do not be afraid, for the Lord has heard your prayer." 6 months later, that same angel Gabriel comes to visit the maiden Mary. And yes, the familiar words of the angel are, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for the Lord has found favor in you." Do not be afraid, for the Lord has found favor in you. And again, there's a promise of a child, and this time by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. If we had read the Christmas story in the Gospel according to Matthew, we would have heard about Mary's fiancé, Joseph, and how he wrestled with Mary's pregnancy, with his doubts and his fears. And in a dream, an angel comes to him. And yes, the first words from that angel are, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary for your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid." And when Joseph awoke from that dream, he did as the angel had asked him. And then in the gospel lesson from Luke that we heard this afternoon, but angels, when they appear to those humble shepherds who are working the third shift out in the fields, watching the flocks, the same greeting: "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, shepherds, for today, born in the city of David, is a Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Over and over in our Christmas story, we hear those words from the angels. And perhaps that's because the experience of having an encounter with a heavenly messenger is terrifying. But perhaps there's even more to that. Perhaps the angels recognize that in order for there to be faith and obedience, first fear has to be dispelled. First fear has to be taken out of the life of Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and those shepherds before they can hear with the ears and the heart of faith and then obey. Just as an aside, a biblical scholar once looked at the writings of the Old Testament and the New Testament, looking for how many times that phrase, "Do not be afraid," is used in our scriptures, in our holy word. And that biblical scholar found that the phrase, "Do not be afraid," is in our Bible 365 times. 365 times. That's enough to hear that once a day. Perhaps God knew that we daily needed that message. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Today, we probably all know individuals who have heard a message that has brought fear and confusion into their lives. Perhaps people have received news that they didn't want to hear, that they would prefer not to receive. The message of an unwanted medical diagnosis, a pink slip in their paycheck, an unexpected bill that pushes them over the edge financially, divorce papers or the end of a relationship, a note from a teacher explaining the bad behavior of a child, the call that a loved one has died. That's news, bad news that we hear, and there's fear and there's confusion and there's anxiety. Sometimes in our lives we hear news we'd rather not hear. Think about news of world events that sometimes cause us to have fear and trembling, like the events this week of a tractor trailer barreling through a Christmas market in Berlin, taking the lives of innocent Christmas shoppers. an incident that has caused heightened anxiety around the world about future attacks, and then the threat that churches might be the next target. That's enough to raise anyone's fear and anxiety. Or think about the rhetoric in the national scene in the global world right now, and how perhaps those tensions might cause us to fear for our security and heightened warfare. Maybe we have fear for loved ones who are serving in our armed forces. Or for some, the change in our political landscape has heightened fear and anxiety about an unknown future. We don't know what's yet to come. And so we have fear and confusion. And to all of this, God says to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If we're honest with ourselves, we all have a bit of fear and anxiety in our lives. There's things that make us nervous. There's things about our future that are unknown and that are out of our control. And so it causes us to have a little bit of anxiety. For some, maybe it's a fear of being alone or a fear of losing your independence, a fear of a debilitating illness or a fear of a loss of a relationship, a fear of failure or a fear of success. A fear of being rejected, the fear of the unknown, the fear of things that we have no control over. And to all of us, God says daily, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Do not be afraid. Emmanuel has come. God is with you. Do not be afraid. The antidote to fear is faith and hope. And those two go hand in hand, faith and hope. I don't think followers of Christ can have one without the other. And they strengthen each other. As we have more faith, we have more hope. As we have more hope, we have more faith. And not only do they strengthen one another, they strengthen us. And they strengthen us on our daily walk. There's a wonderful little story about faith and hope. And it comes out of an English novel from the 19th century. And this novel is set in a small Welsh town in which every year for the past 500 years, the people all gather in the church on Christmas Eve and they pray. Shortly before midnight, they light candle lanterns and they sing carols and hymns, and they walk down a country path several miles to an old abandoned stone shack. There they set up a manger scene, and in simple piety, they kneel and they pray. Their hymns warm the chilly December air, and everyone in town capable of walking is there. Now, there's a myth in this town, a belief that if all the citizens of that town are present on Christmas Eve, and if all are praying with perfect faith, then and only then, at the stroke of midnight, the second coming will be at hand. And for 500 years, they've come to that stone ruin and they have prayed. Yet the second coming has eluded them. One of the main characters in this novel is asked, "Do you believe that he will come again on Christmas Eve in our town?" And the man answers, "No," shaking his head sadly. "No, I don't." "Then why do you make that journey each and every year?" "Ah," he says, smiling, "what if I were the only one who wasn't there when it happened?" Hope and faith. That man probably didn't have enough faith to believe that it really could happen, but he hoped year in and year out that perhaps if he showed up, if he just had enough faith to be present, perhaps this would be the year. Perhaps this would be the time. Faith, as small as a mustard seed, allows miraculous things to happen. And that little bit of faith gives us a little bit of hope. And that hope grows, and our faith grows. And fear is dispelled. With Christ's birth, light comes into the darkness. The prophecy from Isaiah that Marty read for us this evening, we hear the words that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is the light of Christ. In John's gospel, we hear that Jesus is the true light that enlightens every individual, and that true light that the darkness can never, ever overcome. The true light of Christ can overcome the darkness of fear the darkness of sin and the darkness of doubt. That true light is what gives us faith, what gives us hope. We are called in this season to be bearers of that light. We are called to let that light of Christ shine through us so that others see that light, so that we, by shining the light of Christ, can dispel fear and doubt in a world where darkness is too well known. We are truly called to be bearers of the light. There's a wonderful quote, and I spent some time this week kind of finding out where it came from. But it comes from, an ancient Chinese proverb. And it was quoted at the funeral for the former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, who died in November of 1962. And it was said by Adlai Stevenson about Eleanor Roosevelt. She would rather light a candle than curse the darkness, and her glow has warmed the earth. She would rather light a candle than curse the darkness, and her glow has warmed the earth. One candle glowing in the dark can truly make a world of difference. One person shining the light of Christ into a neighborhood, into a family, into a community can truly make a difference. The light of Christ shining through any one of us can dispel the darkness of fear and doubt. This Advent season, the church family has been studying a book called Down to Earth, written by Mike Slaughter and Rachel Billups, who are from Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church. And it looked at how Christ came down to earth to be one of us and to show us how best that we also could have the mind of Christ. And I'd like to share just a little reading this evening from the devotional book. And this is Rachel Billups' words. Sometimes Christmas Eve seems to be filled with anything but light. Some of us have parties to attend. Others have family obligations. Still others need to stay up half the night assembling Christmas toys. And let's not forget making sure the milk and cookies are prepped and we've put out the reindeer food. Even for us church professionals, the night before Christmas can seem like a marathon, often with multiple services and celebrations. At times it becomes an evening to endure rather than a celebration to enjoy. And yet, there's something holy about celebrating Christmas Eve at church. Perhaps it's the warmth of families gathering, or how loud congregations sing, or the faces you don't see at other times during the year. Whatever it is, each Christmas Eve celebration is alive with anticipation. Sometimes we preacher types think it matters what clever things we can say about the birth of Jesus. Most of the time, I remind our team and myself, let's make sure we simply tell the story. But no matter how moving the message or powerful the music, here are the real essentials of Christmas Eve. We'd better sing Silent Night, and we'd better light some candles. What's up with candles? Is there a secret pyromaniac dwelling inside each of us? I believe the real passion for lighting candles on Christmas Eve comes in the proclamation from this scripture. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Standing in the darkened sanctuary, we realize the impact of one light, then two, three, four, and so many more. Suddenly, seeing the place light up, the spread of the gospel, God's good news, makes perfect sense. This story, our story, is contagious. The light is shared along with the warmth within us. We are part of God's evolving story. Christmas. Christmas is a story of hope. When we gather for Christmas celebrations, that hope is clearly proclaimed when each man, woman, and child lights a small wand of wax. Of course, it's not the church tradition that is holy, but the way the candles make Christ's message clear, simple, and tangible for even the youngest person in the room. Lighting the candles answers God's question, "Can you see my light? Can you see my light?" Not every person celebrates the night before Christmas in a church, but I believe all of us have the opportunity to see the light of Christ and proclaim the promise, God's light has come down to earth where it shines in us and through us. We are called to be bearers of the light. Do not be afraid. Let your light shine. This past weekend, the choir and the orchestra that was gathered here presented a wonderful cantata entitled Let There Be Christmas by Joseph M. Martin. And in closing, I just want to share the words of one of the songs. Let there be music, let there be praise, let there be singing to fill every space. Let there be starshine dazzling in white. Let there be worship, let there be Christmas tonight. Let there be carols, let there be song. Let there be angels to sing loud and strong. Let there be candles, gentle and bright. Christmas come, let our hope be restored. Bring us news that a Savior is born. Let there be glory, let there be peace. Let there be promise, let justice increase. Heaven has spoken, let there be light. Let there be Christmas tonight. In our Christmas celebration, may we take the light of the world and may it shine brightly through us so that we might not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for the light of the world has come to dwell among us. Let Christmas shine brightly in all our lives tonight. Amen.